station.
Radio you can touch.
No logic, no reason, no explanation. Just a prolonged nightmare.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
What is it about community? Is it about, oh, this is something we can all do together? Doesn't every good time need a little dose of reality?
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Jeff Lutz.
You're a rain on the parade guy. Straight grumpiness.
What is it about me?
You're flying the ointment. Everybody understands that.
Hashtag burn. Hashtag duck tie slam.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
Welcome back, everyone, a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power is our producer, our engineer, 869-1240. That is our IHOP hotline, brought to you by, of course, IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with their new IHOP house favorites, all of them for just $6, Monday through Friday. Windy day out there. What are the folks at the weather facility saying about it?
That it's windy.
They have any other insights into when it could
calm
down?
I don't know. You'd have to check on that yourself. It's Storm Team 12 and the Storm Team 12.
One of the best things you could do for
weather
this
alert
show would be to, hey, guys, I'm leaving now. I'm going to go do my radio show with, well, my dad's radio show.
okay, well, I can leave.
And you could just ask, hey, do any weather tips I can
throw
they're
working.
In?
They got stuff to do.
I'll credit you. They'd love it.
Nah. I don't think that's the deal.
They'd love it.
I don't think that's the deal.
On a day like today?
No, they got work to do.
Well, I'd like to know a little bit more about it.
Well, then go to our website.
What's it say on the website?
Check the app.
Do you ever write anything on the website?
Never.
Well, every breaking news story I call up to read is Angela. Or Matt Heilman, or
those are the people who work at night, and that's usually when a lot of the news happens. Not a lot of breaking news happens during my shift, but occasionally it does.
Well, I'd like to read some of it. Are you going to continue your five games?
Of course. I've already got them picked out.
Well, good.
I'll continue it.
How's
until
that
the
Joe Auer feature comes.
Oh, it's
Get done before basketball,
putting the
right?
Finishing touches on it. Before basketball. Basketball starts in like a 2 or 3 days.
I'm talking about before the season starts.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometime
doesn't
in November. I'd love to read it. And I think most people would.
Man, I've been writing a lot lately, so
that's part of it, man.
Why can't people just
to be the guy that that gets to do the tell-it-all profile of the winningest coach in City League history? That's an honor for you. That's not a job.
It is a job because it's work and it's not.
No, it's not work if you love to write.
I love to write.
I never felt like I worked a day in my life when I was at the Eagle because I went there and I got to do what I love to do.
And I have been writing quite a bit.
Right?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Thank you for noticing.
No, I'm talking about you. Do you love it?
Have I not been writing all the time?
Well, I don't know. Have you? Well, you do your five games.
I do my five games. I do on this day. I do all this other stuff.
Well, just tossing in that hour feature, which you've been promising us for several years.
Several?
3 years.
It's been two. Calm down.
We'll see what Duda thinks.
When?
He'll be part of the three man on Thursday.
Where are you being tomorrow?
It's you and Duda tomorrow.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I got other things going on.
Huh.
I'm speaking to a group. I got a trunk or treat activity at the zoo. I got all
trunk
kinds
or
of things.
Treat.
Trunk or treat.
Yeah.
What'd I say?
Truck or treat.
Well, there might be some trucks out there. I don't know.
I'm sure there probably will be.
Trunk or treat. Truck or treat. Trick or treat.
Truck.
Track
or treat.
Treat.
Would you choose a truck or a treat?
I don't know what I'd choose.
I already have a truck and some treats at home, so.
You have a truck or an SUV?
We have a truck. You know
you
we
do?
Have, yeah, you know that we have a truck to pull our trailer and to drive around when necessary.
I think I'd forgotten about that. Anyway.
You want to buy it from us? You need a truck?
No. You trying to sell it?
No, but we'll take $12,500 for it.
What's it? What'd you pay for it?
I don't know. More than that, I think.
You are a desperate for money, it sounds like.
It just
sounds like you have no money.
Could always use more.
Am I right that you have no money?
It's a day-to-day endeavor, my friend.
Really? Two people with good jobs, no child at home.
Yeah, did you see people who make $150 are living paycheck to paycheck?
No, I didn't see that.
We're not up to that, so.
Well, then they're spending their money frivolously.
I wouldn't say that. I think
they are.
There are expenses, there are necessities, there are
Why am I not living paycheck to paycheck?
How much of your house have you paid off?
I got four more payments.
Okay. I don't know why you're not.
Well, what's your best guess?
Because you saved money when you could.
But what's at the bottom of all that?
What I just said.
Well, what does it mean though?
Your generation had it very easily financially, and did not pass that on to us. You want us to live in dire straits for some reason.
But I have the same money thing you have now. I mean, I'm dealing with this. Why am I not living?
Because you get a salary, you get Social Security, you get.
Well, you just said $150. I don't make $150.
Nor do
why
I.
Are those people living paycheck to paycheck?
I'm telling
could
you
it
why.
Be
are you going to listen?
Because they don't know how to handle money.
No, that couldn't be it.
That couldn't be it.
No.
No. Could it be that I did?
No, it means that your house payment was $9 back in the day.
My house payment was $9.
Essentially, yeah, I would say.
What do you think it is now?
Over $1,000.
Why am I living paycheck?
Most of it paid off.
Still owe the same.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean not necessarily? I pay the same price for my mortgage as I have since I got the loan.
Well, then it's probably not $1,000.
Almost 12 years ago.
Then it's probably not $1,000.
It's more than $1,000.
No, then you got a bad deal.
You know who knows less about money than you?
You?
Seriously. No one.
What is your deal?
You're just making me mad.
How am I making you mad?
You're delving into an area that you know nothing about.
Yeah, I know that boomers have nest eggs.
All you like to do is attack me and other people my age.
No, I'm telling you, boomers have nest eggs. My generation does not. So
that's on you.
No, it's not on us. If it's everybody.
I didn't have a nest egg when I was 40.
If it's everybody, then it's not just us.
I didn't have a nest egg when I was 30, 40.
Good for you.
But I know how to handle money. I invested it wisely.
Congratulations.
Fairly wisely. I mean, it's not like I'm...
We don't get to invest it. We got to spend ours on food and upkeep and the rent.
Or
the mortgage.
Going to Eagles concerts and...
Oh, please. That's a
cruises and...
We go on a lot of cruises.
All that stuff.
We go on a lot of cruises,
my friend. How much money do you think you've spent on Eagles concerts in the last... 5 years.
A blip on the radar.
How much? Give me a rough
I have no idea. Let's see how many.
20,000?
20,000? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you've been to 55 of them.
Not in the last 5 years. Let's see how many I've been to in the last 5 years. Since 2019. So we're talking 19. 20.
20.
20 concerts.
Probably 500 a ticket.
No.
So 10 grand.
Probably 200 a ticket it would average out at, maybe.
Think of what you could do with that 10 grand today.
4,000 in 5 years. $800 a year. Nothing.
Think of what you could do with that 10 grand.
Well, it's not 10 grand.
Here's what we have on the show today. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will join us at 2:25. The Chiefs are unbeaten. They don't necessarily play like they should be unbeaten, but they are unbeaten. And they are chasing that third Super Bowl. And right now, you'd have to say they're right there, right where they need to be.
Ravens made a big trade today.
Who'd they get?
Deontay Johnson from the Panthers, receiver, and they put him with Flowers and their two tight ends.
Yeah, you didn't used to like Deontay Johnson. I had him in fantasy, and you just, meh.
Well, he wasn't very good.
Well, he was okay.
With the Steelers, when they didn't have a quarterback.
He was okay. He was their best receiver.
He's been good this year with Andy Dalton as his quarterback, and now he gets Lamar Jackson. So we'll see how
We'll see how he does. That doesn't change the equation.
Of course it does.
Not for me. Denise Neal from the Wichita Eagle will join us at 2:45 to talk about food and restaurants, and we'll have a game. What's the game today?
I'll tell you when it's time.
Do you have the game?
Yes.
Well, I like a little...
It's right here. There's the game.
I like a little heads up.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Is it a hard one?
Yep.
Is it sports related?
Yes, it is.
And is Max going to play?
He will.
I'll kill him.
He will lose badly, but you won't do great either, so we'll find out.
What do you mean I won't do great?
It's a hard game.
Well, if it's sports related, I've devoted my entire life to sport.
Well, we'll see how you do then, but it's not easy. It'll be easier for you than it is for him, and I'm sorry to say that, Max, but it's just true.
Well, you don't know. Max may surprise us. Yeah. We had the conversation yesterday about Anthony Richardson for the Colts coming out of the game because he was tired. And today's benched. Joe Flacco will be the quarterback now for the Colts.
Pretty weak.
I'm sure in that locker room it was like, come on, man. You got to be with us. You're our leader. You can't do that.
Come on. He came out on a 3rd-and-23 play.
It's a bad look.
It's not either.
Pretty much the entire consensus on that has been in support of what I say.
It's only a bad look if it's a bad franchise and you don't know how to control it, the narrative, and you don't know how to put your players in a position to succeed. If Patrick Mahomes had done that, no one would say a word because it wouldn't matter. And it didn't matter here.
Well, there's some truth to that, but this is a guy trying to earn his stripes.
He's 10 starts in. He's 20 years old.
Exactly, and you better...
Give him a break, for crying out loud.
I'm not saying you bench him forever, but my goodness.
You don't bench him at all for that.
This guy's got to get it together.
Well, we'll ask Jesse Newell. I bet he has an opinion about this.
Oh, he's not a boomer. He's a Gen Xer.
Right.
He'll see the light.
Because to him, it's about more than, we got to be tough.
The Gen Xers
and that locker
see the
room
light.
And those linemen who really got to be on his
case.
Are they
boomers?
Probably.
The linemen in the NFL?
Yeah.
They're boomers.
They're narrative-based, small-minded,
so Gen
limited
Z,
thinkers.
Gen Z, we dismiss.
No, we don't dismiss anything.
Does Gen X have the answers?
We dismiss a stupid mentality of, that's a bad look, and you can't be tired, and you're a leader.
So you're going to go to Jesse Newell.
You're a leader
Newell.
Of men, and you're the quarterback
of that football team. Ridiculous you sound.
And get in that quarterback room and learn
I
from
wish
the veteran.
We'd have asked Troy Black about this yesterday.
Well, call him up.
Seriously, you sound like a moron.
No, I don't.
There's no one saying that.
There should be a lot of people saying that because this dumb, masculine jock
culture. It has nothing
culture,
to do with masculine.
What does it have to do with
then? It has
then?
To do with being there for your
being
team.
Being a leader. It's the same thing. It's the same. It's all the same.
You're so weak.
He came out on 3rd-and-23.
So weak.
Big deal.
It's unbelievable how weak you are.
It's unbelievable how weak Shane Steichen must be or whatever their quarterback or their coach's name is.
No, they want this guy to develop into a great player.
Okay, well, then ruin him. That's a good
start.
They're
not going to ruin him with this.
Yeah, they are.
No, this is exactly the message that should be sent.
No, the message that should be sent is you develop by playing.
He'll be back.
You don't develop by sitting.
This isn't a permanent thing.
Then why do it at all?
He needs more time to develop. And, truthfully, Joe Flacco's been a better quarterback than him.
They're 4-3.
You said it yesterday.
No, I don't think I did say that.
You said it on this show. Joe Flacco's a better quarterback right now.
I have not said that.
Yes, you have.
When?
You know you
have.
When
has this come up? I don't even remember.
I think it was one of the three-man booth days.
No, I didn't think I said that.
We were talking about him.
I don't understand. I don't think we were. There was no context for us to be talking about him.
And you can't debate the fact that Flacco has had more success.
Well, then a guy who has 10 career starts, yeah, he probably has.
No, with this team this year. So why not put him in?
Aren't they 1-1 with him and 3-2 otherwise? Isn't that kind of the thing? I don't know that there's a big
I don't know,
difference.
But I guarantee you that Joe Flacco has never pointed to his helmet and said, I got to come out, I'm tired after a run.
Because he doesn't run. And when he does, it's 1 mile a every 20 hours.
None of the running quarterback. I've never seen it. Have you?
He came out on 3rd-and-23.
Isn't that where you need your quarterback the most?
No, not really. You're not going to probably pick that up.
Well, I don't like...
And if you want to, Joe Flacco is a more accurate downfield...
I'm tired. Joe, go in there. I know you haven't warmed up at all, but go in there, hand off. We'll just punt.
Like I said, we can ask Jesse about this.
We're good.
We can get a...
We're going to give up. Third and 23. No, can't do it. Joe, hand the ball off.
But it's not...
Come on over, Anthony. Get some ice. Come on, man. Get real. All I ask is that you get real.
I am being real. I do not understand the outcry over this. Not at all. Not even a little
bit. It's perception.
And I try to understand things pretty easily.
It's perception. It's a fact that you call it masculinity and, toxic.
As it is.
It's football players. It's football players.
Fine. He doesn't... I don't know. I don't get it. Like I said,
You don't have to get it. You've never been in the NFL. You've never really even played football.
I've never played football at all.
So imagine, I'll try to bring another analogy to it. In baseball, okay? I guess. Although there's really no analogy here. It's just so uncommon that there's nothing.
Here's
really
an analogy for you. I'll give you this analogy. Don Henley, leader of the Eagles, does not play on Rocky Mountain Way, leaves the stage. Is that a big deal?
He's 77.
Is that a big deal?
No. It's noticeable.
But it's not a big deal. Right. So there you are. It's noticeable.
He's 77. You're drawing an analogy.
Okay, he hasn't played on Rocky Mountain Way at all. He does now because they're at the Sphere. No, he doesn't.
Of course he did.
No, he's never drummed on Rocky Mountain Way.
He's drummed. He's been on the percussion. That's the same thing.
Different kind of percussion.
Yeah, maybe even harder than drumming.
He's not sat behind a drum kit on Rocky Mountain Way. And before the Sphere, where everyone's out there at all times, he's left the stage. Noticeable, but not a big deal, you say.
Not a big deal. He's old.
What does that have to do with anything?
He's taking a little break. Anthony Richardson's in the throes of a game. He's 20. Third down, 23. Just had a scamper trying to avoid tackles. Comes out of the game because by his own admission.
Why doesn't Joe Walsh leave the stage?
I was tired. Come on, man. Give me a break. That shouldn't even be a debate.
I agree.
You absolutely want to debate everything.
No, I agree that it shouldn't be a debate. I don't understand the debate at all.
I can't wait for Jesse Newell. Because I know. I guarantee. You want to bet?
No, but yeah, actually I kind of do.
Okay. I'll bet how much?
No.
You said you want to bet.
I'll bet dinner.
No.
I'll bet my Kobe's dinner.
Oh, your Kobe's dinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll pay for yours or you pay for
mine.
Okay. But no extra. I'm taking 7 rices home. Just the regular.
No, I get 1 rice.
Right. You get the rice that
comes.
No,
I get the rice there and 1 to bring home.
No.
That's the deal or no deal.
No, you get your regular meal.
Are you betting or not?
Yes, on your regular meal.
And the rice to bring home.
Doubtful.
Are you betting that or not?
What are the terms of the bet? How do we know who wins?
More on my side.
Okay, but you have to ask him straight up, what do you think about it?
Okay.
Not like, oh, well, I feel like, and then Jeff over here like a moron. You got to present
it. Yeah, well, he'll use the moron term.
Well, if he does, he does.
And then I get 2 rices. If he says moron about you, I get 2 rices.
Fine. I don't know why you need 2 extra rices, but whatever.
Well, I like them. My wife would like them.
Everyone loves them.
So that's the bet.
Yep.
The meal and the added rice. If he uses the word moron, 2 rices.
What if he says it about you?
Then you get 2 rices.
Deal.
But he can't be led to it.
Right.
But if he says, Jesse, what do you think of Anthony Richardson asking to come off the field because he was tired? And that's exactly how I'm going to put it.
Right.
And his answer is, yeah, I couldn't believe that. That was
And you get the meal and a rice.
I get the meal and a rice.
Yep.
And then I'll say, well, I heard somebody trying to defend it. And if he says, well, that person's a moron, then I get 2 rices.
Fine.
You good?
Yep.
All right. That's exactly how it's going to be presented.
Good. I can't wait to find out how this goes.
Well...
And no extra shrimp or anything like
that. No extra shrimp.
Just your regular down-the-middle meal.
But my mouth is already watering. I can barely talk.
Mine is too, actually. I should have gone to Kobe's the other night.
The rice.
Rice is great at Kobe's.
And I found a new sandwich shop that I'm dying to try.
Which is what?
It's a food truck right over here at 13th and Ridge. Let's take a break. We've got the million-dollar question getting ready to present.
Can't wait.
To Jesse Newell, who
covers the Chiefs. You know for a fact that Jesse hasn't reported or you haven't seen any of his...
I haven't seen anything he's put out there.
Hey, I'm just making sure. You're pretty underhanded
sometimes.
You're
so paranoid.
I know how you operate.
Jesse Newell with us next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. He covers the Chiefs. They are now 7-0 after going on the road and beating Las Vegas over the weekend. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How about you?
We're good. So I got a question to ask you, very straightforward, and we just want your answer, okay? Doesn't have anything to do with the Chiefs. Do you understand the benching of Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis? Just asking your opinion on that.
That's not wasn't the question. The question, Jesse, is related to that. What is your personal opinion about Anthony Richardson asking out of a game because he was tired? Go.
I have never seen it. So that is, I can't imagine his teammates would have been happy with that. I guess I'll say that. I maybe it'll become something in the future of the NFL in 20 years. We're all used to it, but that's not something I've ever seen or heard. So I'm sure that had reverberations throughout the locker room that a guy would just, he's out of there.
You just won me a dinner, Jesse. And I have a second part to the question, and this is even trickier. What word would you use to describe someone who validated that move by Anthony Richardson to come out of the game? What word? Pick one. Just what comes to mind?
Oh gosh, am I going to have to? Is this a descriptor of Jeff? Is that what's going to happen here? Is that what you're trying to goad me into here?
Well, I'm just asking you what word you would come up with. I can't really
There's
get
a
any.
Lot riding on this answer, perhaps.
Do I have to say like handsome or intelligent? Is that what I'm looking for here? Am I working both sides of this well enough, guys?
It's not moron, correct?
No, it's not moron. I'm okay. trying to play Switzerland here.
All right. Thanks for helping us through that one. We do appreciate it. We're kind of silly on this show at times. So here are the Chiefs, 7-0, and I think the general mood about the Chiefs is that, yeah, they're really good, but they seem like they should be better, especially offensively. They're not blowing anybody out. When are they going to blow anybody out? Is that just the design of this football team that they're meant to roll through games and win them and not necessarily score beauty points?
Well, that's been that case so far this year. I mean, I will say in this last one, just a tiny bit of pushback. I mean, they were up 14 late in the fourth quarter. You're trying to stop the Raiders, but, you know, your secondary goal on that drive is to make them take up enough time that if they fail on their two-point or their onside kick, then the game's over. And it's exactly what happened. The Raiders failed on their onside kick, and the Chiefs kneeled it three times, and the game was over. So you win by seven, you know, is more like a 10- to 14-point game. But I think you're speaking of something very accurate, Bob, which I've mentioned before and I've referenced, which is I see these power rankings out there online, and – you know, I see that other people out there have, you know, maybe the Lions or the Bills or the Ravens ahead of the Chiefs, and I'm not opposed to it, honestly. Like, there have been more dominant moments for those teams than there have been the Chiefs. But what you do have to say about the Chiefs is they have just put themselves in an amazing position to go in the playoffs and potentially win another Super Bowl. Because would you rather have Jesse Newell of the Kansas City Star tell you are a really good football team, or would you rather be 7-0 and last week had, according to Pro Football Focus, a 72% chance to get the one seed in the AFC, which means you're the only team to get the bye, you get a week off, and you get home field advantage. I mean, it's an astronomical number to have this early in the season. So however they're doing it, they're in an ideal situation right now as far as the playoffs go, and again, trying to make another push for the Super Bowl to potentially win three in a row that nobody's ever done. And so that's where you want to be. But to your point, yeah, there's better things that they can do, and it feels like they just haven't hit their stride yet. And so all those things are a positive when you're sitting there and your record is 7-0.
I agree with you that power rankings ultimately mean nothing, but I also don't really understand how the Chiefs could be ranked anywhere but number one. It's not like they're this upstart team that, the Chiefs, they're catching our attention. They've won the last two Super Bowls, and they're undefeated. But I guess the question is, you know, what is the formula to beat the Chiefs if they haven't played well really that often? Is there something and still win? I mean, is there something that there's going to be a fatal flaw that gets exposed at some point? If they're not playing well and still winning, how do you beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the close games probably speak to that. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, the Bengals were one play away from beating the Chiefs. You know, it took a fourth and very, very long play. And listen, it was absolutely pass interference. Should have been called. It was called. But, you know, the Chiefs were in a pretty dire situation there. You know, I would say that probably explosive plays on both sides is what worries me about the Chiefs a lot, along with turnovers. I mean, we know this. Like, Mahomes still has 9 interceptions, and we know that the Chiefs have fumble problems at times this year. So they don't win the turnover battle that often, which it kind of puts you in a hole to start with. But on offense, you know, they have been great. Their interior three are great at blocking. I mean, just they've made every running back there look amazing. But they don't get big chunk gains. I mean, their longest run from a running back this season is 13 yards. You know, they don't have explosive plays. That they love to get, you know, they get 5 to 8 yards, and then they get 5 to 8 yards again, and then they're ahead of the chains, and then they have manageable third downs. And then you saw, like, this last game, they were 12 for 15 on third down because they're all third and shorts, and you have Patrick Mahomes scrambling when he needs to. And I even think the last one was a kneel down, that one we talked about after the 2-minute warning. So they were 12 for 14 on third down. So, you know, they really haven't been super tested on third and longs this year like they have in the past because they've been ahead of the chains. And then defensively, you know, Steve Spagnuolo is great at blitzing. He's great at taking chances, but they play man coverage a lot. And you saw, I remember the Saints game a couple times where, you know, if you've got a quarterback back there who hangs in there and who finds his receiver who could drop the ball in, there was one time the Chiefs brought cover zero. They brought every man and had man up across the board. And Derek Carr drops in a dime to his receiver on fourth down who just flat drops it. The 49ers had another one in their game. I think it was Ayuk, same thing, down the field. I mean, drops in the bucket, it gets dropped. And so you have to hit on your big plays against the Chiefs. And these other teams haven't been able to do it. And so that's a credit to the Chiefs for kind of discombobulating teams. But at some point, I'm sure some opponent is going to take advantage of that opportunity given to them, and it's going to be a little bit different game for the Chiefs coming down the stretch. So I think big plays both ends. The Chiefs don't produce them, and the Chiefs don't stop them very well. That could be a bigger factor down the line. The Chiefs have gotten a little bit fortunate. I think it hasn't been them yet so far.
Jesse Newell giving us his insight on the Chiefs. They are unbeaten, and hard to fathom that they won't make another very strong run at a Super Bowl. Let's get a little deeper into Patrick Mahomes, because his numbers look pretty good considering, but that 9 interception thing to go with 8 touchdowns, is that just a facet of him not having enough weapons? And when you lose a Rashee Rice and a Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco, and that just adds up, and it's going to affect Patrick Mahomes' numbers to some degree. Or do you see any decline at all in him?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Excuse me. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, and I think some of them are actually really positive for the Chiefs. You talk about the 8 touchdowns. I mean, that's the number that stands out. Like, through 7 games, he had 8 touchdowns. We're used to this guy going, you know, 35, 40 touchdowns a season. For him to be at 8 is an alarming number. The Chiefs are still scoring touchdowns, though. they're just running them in. And it kind of speaks to what I talked about earlier, which is right now you're talking about career years from Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith all at once. That's a good thing to have. You know what I mean? And so anytime the Chiefs are in the red zone, especially lately, they're just running it. And they're scoring touchdowns. I looked up a stat the other day that's sort of interesting about the Chiefs that kind of plays into this as well. A couple of years ago, Patrick talked to us. It was kind of an interesting quote where, you know, you can run these run pass option plays where if the ball's in Mahomes' hands and he waits to see what the defense does and he can either give it to the running back or throw it to the receiver. And earlier on, a couple of years ago, they weren't working for the Chiefs because every single time Patrick Mahomes was pulling the ball and throwing it. You know what I mean? Like he wants to throw the football. I saw the Chiefs are running RPOs more this year than any other team, but 80% of the time they're running it. And so I think Patrick Mahomes has had some maturity throughout all this. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to be the show if they're winning. He doesn't have to have the ball has to be in my hands. I think he's trusting the defense. I think he's trusting his offensive line. I think he's trusting his running backs. I looked up against the 49ers. The Chiefs ran 15 RPO plays, and all 15 were run plays. I think that shows a lot of maturity and growth. And a guy that's sort of like Travis Kelce, the numbers might not be there to week to week for him individually, but as long as he wins, that doesn't matter to him. You know what I mean? So having said all that, I thought Mahomes played one of his best games against the Raiders. Like, they picked apart zone coverage. Travis Kelce had a big game. He looked like he was in rhythm better. So I thought it was a good step for him. But I think part of this speaks to maybe the Chiefs' culture and what they've become is that I think you could see guys on other teams maybe having that sort of statistical line affect them and then affect their play because of it. And I just think that the Chiefs right now care about winning. And I think Mahomes is definitely squarely in that category. And the 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions might impact somebody else in a way that it's not affecting Patrick Mahomes because he's mature about this and understands how the game works. And because of that, the Chiefs are 7-0 and still successful on offense, even while doing it in a different way.
What have you made of the trade deadline so far, the moves ahead of the deadline, not only for the Chiefs, but the AFC, the Bills, and Ravens now today get a receiver. Do the Chiefs have anything else up their sleeve? Do you think there's a point where they become reactive rather than proactive, where they see another contender make a move and feel they have to counter it in some way?
Yeah, I just don't think that's the way they operate, really. And we've seen this in the past, too, where you know, the Bills, they had to get to their Super Bowl, so they go sign Von Miller in free agency and spend all this money. And you just don't ever see the Chiefs paint themselves in a corner like that. I mean, you can even kind of circle it with the deals that happened so far. Like, Amari Cooper goes for a third-round pick to the Bills first. I mean, it would have been a decent fit with the Chiefs. The Chiefs wait a week later, and they get DeAndre Hopkins for a conditional fifth-round pick. You know what I mean? Like, and through one game, looks like an amazing fit with the Chiefs because of his football knowledge and potentially his ability to jive with Patrick Mahomes right away with the knowledge of football that they both have. So I think that's the way the Chiefs operate. Like, they kind of want things to fall to them. They aren't going to force anything, and they're not going to try to one-up teams, especially teams that are chasing the Chiefs. I mean, one of the greatest advantages winning 2 Super Bowls in a row gives you is that there is no desperation. You know what I mean? There is no gotta have it this year. I mean, it would be great to win a three-peat, and that's why the Chiefs are making trades right now. I mean, they're trying to upgrade their roster, all those sorts of things, but you don't have to completely mortgage the future and all your draft picks to do that. And there's a reason the Bills and the Ravens and those sorts of teams seem more desperate in these situations than the Chiefs do. It's because this is how the Chiefs operate, and it's how they've always operated, and it's why they maintain their level of success year after year after year. So I think the Chiefs are already done trading, honestly, after getting Uche yesterday, the edge racer from the Patriots, at him and DeAndre Hopkins, and kind of fill in two of those biggest needs depth-wise. I think they're in a pretty good spot. So I would expect them to go forward with what they have here and chase that third Super Bowl, and then always keep an eye to the future, because so much of their success is not only their superstars playing well, but backfilling with all these rookies and draft picks and making smart decisions there, because you have to supplement your roster with talent there too, and the Chiefs have done a really good job of that as well.
Jesse, always a really good insight. We appreciate it. And I think the best thing you accomplished here is winning me a Japanese dinner at Kobe Steakhouse. So thank you for that.
No problem, Bob. Whenever you speak of me, speak well and enjoy the meal.
I hate you now, Jesse.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. As we weigh in on the Chiefs, and you would agree that you lost that bet.
Yeah, I would. It wasn't as aggressive.
Oh, because he knew he didn't. Here's what Jesse does. He walks a little bit of a fine line, but he also lets you know what he thinks. So,
sort of.
He didn't come up with the word moron, which saved you an extra helping of rice.
I think calling me intelligent would take away the first rice, though.
No, I get the meal and the take-home rice.
We'll see.
And that hurt you.
We'll see about the take-home rice.
Well, that you lost that.
I think countering moron with intelligent is handsome and intelligent, takes away the extra rice.
Well, he was saying, is that what you want me? He doesn't think you're handsome or intelligent.
I wouldn't
put
it past
him. Let me tell you that right now. We'll take a break. Denise Neal will join us after the break. Now, do you want to go double or nothing with Denise Neal?
I doubt Denise cares, but you can ask her anything you want.
She would be much more likely to be on your side, but I've rescinded that offer.
Already?
Here's Denise Neal from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com, Dining with Denise on Facebook. Highly popular. Denise, highly popular. Is that a good enough introduction for you?
Yes. That's probably the best you've ever given me. I love it.
Well, I've been drinking, so there's something about that.
Typical.
How you been?
I've been okay. How about you two? I haven't heard from you in a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a little while. We kind of dropped the ball, actually. So here we are. We're back with Denise Neal. Tell us about Nola's Pizza. They got a lot of activity going on and a couple of moves, right? They're moving a couple of their stores.
Yeah. Well, they several weeks ago, they moved the one that was operating downtown at, what was that, Douglas and Main in the old Century Plaza building. They moved that one over to Old Town Square by where our offices used to be there in the old Pino's Palette space. So that one happened a few weeks ago. That one's up and running now and has a patio space and just a much cooler little spot there in Old Town Square. Which anybody doesn't know, that's like down at, what, 2nd and Mead, I think. And then the Nola's stores are owned by different members of the Nola family. So a different owner, a different relative, has run that one over there at Central and Ridge forever, that used to be by the old Taco Pronto that's been torn down and the old New Way. So anyway, they're moving that one over to a brand new building coming up right away here. Their brand new building is over at Tyler and Kellogg, right by the Sticky Bird. So that's a brand new building they put up for that. So they had to be out of that old building by October 31st. They're kind of, I assume they'll tear it down. I don't know for sure, but they've been tearing down those little restaurant buildings there by the Ollie's. That strip center that used to have Hobby Lobby a long time ago, bit by bit. So we'll see what happens there. But it doesn't matter because the Nolans has a new home now.
You've recently written about Big Biscuit and what might be happening with them in our town. What is Big Biscuit? What does Big Biscuit serve? And what are their plans for Wichita?
Have you ever been there before, you guys?
I've never been.
Never.
Well, it won't be any shock to hear that they serve Big Biscuits.
Wow.
But they also have they also have all kind of breakfast, and it's kind of like one of those First Watch type places. It has breakfast and lunch and then closes early in the afternoon. If you go to Kansas City on a regular basis, my sister lives there, so I do, but they have Big Biscuits everywhere in Kansas City, and that's where it started about 25 years ago, and then it just has expanded all over Kansas City, and now they've moved out into Oklahoma City and Tulsa, Joplin and Springfield, and they've been wanting to come to Wichita for a long time, and they finally found the spot they like, which is this place behind the Dillon's at Central or at the 21st and Maze, which it's kind of back from the road, but it's had lots of Mexican restaurants in there over the past few years, most recently Las Catrinas. Anyway, Las Catrinas closed, and the Big Biscuit people like that space, so they're taking that over, and it should open next year, probably in the spring. However, they really like our market, and they hope to open between 3 and 5 Big Biscuit restaurants here total over the next few years. So, yeah, if it's any as popular as it is in Kansas City, I think it could do well because Kansas City loves it.
Let's ask more of a kind of a theoretical business connected question of you, Denise, because we talk about when you're on, we talk about all the new restaurants that are coming. You write about them. You write about the restaurants that are going. If you had money, what's the mm-hmm. risk level of starting a new restaurant in this community right now? Because to the average person, it just feels like we're flooded with them, and it's hard to imagine all of them staying afloat. Do you see some of that? Do you sense some of that?
Well, Bob, you guys might know I'm no business expert. I only know anecdotal stuff from what I observe with the people I cover. But, you know, yeah, it seems like a lot of places open, but a lot of places close. And so I think there's kind of just a rotating cycle, you know. A big chain closes, another chain moves into their spot, and the cycle keeps going. I mean, the market will decide how many can survive, and the ones that we don't like as much will go, and the ones we do like will stay for a while. You know, I don't have
it's
any
all about marketing.
Numbers on that, but yeah,
if
I think
was
going to
open a restaurant, marketing would be my number one thing.
It's about marketing, but it's also about having a good concept,
that's a cost.
And good food, and good service.
Yeah,
you know, and
just throw the food out there as long as you got a marketing plan.
Not everybody who opens a restaurant, you know, is prepared or good at it or has enough money or, you're right, has a marketing plan. So I don't know. I've yet to figure out. Usually I can tell after having done this for almost 25 years, when a place is opening, I usually have a gut feeling about whether it's going to make it. Every now and then, rarely, they surprise me. But, yeah, it's just hard. It's, you know, you got to have that magic combination that makes people want to go.
What about chains? Because what is it in your experience that either brings a chain to Wichita or keeps a chain from coming to Wichita or any city, I guess? I like eating local. I think everybody does, but we all like our chains now. And then I'm thinking about Raising Cane's, which is one I really enjoy that I've been to. They're all around here, but they're not here. So what are factors that might go into something like that?
You know we're getting a Raising Cane's, right, Jeff?
Oh, no,
heard
I didn't.
That?
You haven't read that.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that one. I apologize.
Well, y'all missed it. We're getting one over there. That's okay. We're getting one over there at Kellogg, all that big restaurant development off Kellogg at Ridge Road, you know, by the Freddy's and the IHOP and the Twin Peaks and Panera. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Raising Cane's is going to open over there in that area, I think,
that's
early
fantastic.
Next year. Yeah. But, you know,
well, that is
are
good.
Different from... Yeah. Chains are different from local restaurants. You know, they have deeper pockets. They have people with software programs that can tell them what our demographics are. You know, who in their target demographic lives near what other restaurants in their category are doing well or doing poorly. And they can kind of scientifically pick locations and where they should open. You know, a local restaurant owner is more going on what they can afford, what's available, what their gut tells them. It's not quite as scientific. So, you know, chains can also withstand more of a hit if business slows down because they've got money from other locations across the country bringing in cash. But a local mom and pop can't really survive a big hit. So, you know, there's lots of differences. I do find that Wichita tends to like chains. You know, chains can kind of keep their prices a little lower. They can, they're generally consistent. You know what you're going to get every time. So I don't know. It is a big debate and a big battle. I, you know, chains have their spot for some people, you know, really like them. And I'm sure even people who want to support local have a chain restaurant that they secretly love. But yeah, you know, I think you got to really kind of think about who you want, if you want to keep your neighbors in business. But on the other hand, your neighbors work at chain restaurants too. So it's a hard debate.
Denise Neal, our guest, we're talking food, restaurants. As anyone who listens to this show or knows me knows, I don't do much cooking, nor does my wife. I made a joke the other day where we're remodeling a kitchen And we have some amazing new countertops to put our Hog Wild barbecue on.
You made that joke?
When we serve it.
I've been telling you that for 20 weeks.
That's funny, isn't it, Denise? Wouldn't you say?
That you guys are remodeling your kitchen and going to have countertops?
No, my joke.
Hog Wild barbecue? I think it flew right over my head, Bob. Could you repeat the joke?
Well, you're not as sharp as you used to be. I do want to ask you about...
Ask me.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something.
I wanted to get the joke I missed, but whatever, we can move on.
Yeah, it's not that important.
They have a new kitchen, and the brand new countertops are there to hold their Hog Wild Pit barbecue that they bring home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we remodeled the kitchen.
How they made a nicer kitchen, but they're still not cooking.
They don't.
So that we have a nicer kitchen to put our food on.
I get it. Well, that's just sad. That's not a joke. That's just a depressing statement.
It is a fact. You're right.
My wife will be hurt by that comment, but that's okay.
Sorry.
I wanted to ask you about a place that intrigues the heck out of me. I discovered it just the other day, just perusing, looking at my phone. It's a food truck called Honey and Ruse, and they're out on North Ridge Road near 13th, and they specialize in chopped deli subs and then some interesting desserts. And I'm just fascinated by it because it sounds really good. Is sounding good and being good, can they go together?
They absolutely can, and usually do. And, I personally have not been out there yet, but I have heard from many different people that it's quite good, and it's also intrigued me. I don't know. There's something about chopping stuff all up that makes it better. I love a chopped salad, for example, and I try to make it at my home, but I'm not as good as restaurants are. But I would imagine a chopped up sub would be amazing, and I would like to try that too. I should probably write about them. They're one I haven't really gotten to yet.
All right, good stuff.
What is a chopped sub?
They chop up the meat.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Actually,
it's like a chopped salad. You get all the ingredients. You got the tomato. You got the lettuce. You got the peppers. You got the ham and turkey, whatever. You chop it all up so that there's no like big piece of lettuce with a giant hunk of pepper or something. All of the stuff is the same size, so the flavors blend together well. It's easier to put it in your mouth and chew it and get the flavor distribution. And so they're doing this with the inside of the sandwich, you see, chopping it all up.
That's very interesting.
Not pureeing it, but chopping it all up so that every piece is more uniform, so everything is more spread out, you know. Easier to eat.
I love it.
That was really one of the better definitions I've ever heard.
Why, thank you. I'm very smart.
All right, Denise, have we missed anything? Is there anything percolating in your brain that you're going to write about that you want to give us a little peek into?
Percolating. Oh, there's lots of things percolating, Bob, but you know I can't give them away. I'm always looking for ideas from you and your fabulous readers.
Well, there you go.
I have readers.
I'm listening.
Hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you, I haven't reached out to Jamie Green, our mutual friend, or Travis, your husband and my friend. How's the documentary coming? Do you know?
I do, Bob, and I don't want to give anything away, but you need to contact the two of them because something happened today that is a major development in the documentary, and they are both like so excited about it. They've both been like screaming and crying today in the back room of my house.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't contacted me with that.
Well, I think they're just overwhelmed.
But I will reach out.
You should, because I don't want to give it away here, but it's a really, you're going to be very excited about it too. It's a great development.
And we're talking about the documentary that Jamie Green and Travis Hying from the Wichita Eagle are doing about the stolen Jackie Robinson statue, and we expect that to be out here and by the first of the year or thereabouts, right?
Yep. Let's just say they got permission to use some very, very, very valuable footage today.
Well, I know what you're talking about. So,
okay,
that does change the course of the documentary.
Yes, it does.
All right. Thank you, Denise. Always a pleasure.
All right. Nice talking with you guys.
All right. See Denise you. Neal. WichitaEagleKansas.com. We'll be back with one more hour. The hotline open for you at 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. Stay with us.